Good morning, 12th Street. It is great to see you out this morning. Sorry, that was my microphone. There's a great way to start the service here, to sing Crown Him with Many Crowns, right?
Amen.
So if we think about that, what does that mean, Crown Him with Many Crowns? Well, I think first of all, it's with our actions, with our works that we do, we need to make sure that we bring glory and honor to His name. And so we can crown Him with many crowns long before we get to heaven and have actual crowns to cast at His feet. We can crown Him with many crowns through what we do here. And this morning, we're actually going to talk about how to produce the right kind of fruit in our lives and what that fruit is. So I'm excited about the message this morning, and I'm excited that you're here. It'd be really lonely without you. So let's take our bulletins. We have several announcements that we need to go through. First of all, following the morning service, we have a really quick business meeting. There are a couple just items that we need to take care of. And so if you could stay around, we'll start really quickly after the morning service is done. And budget committee, remember that you have a meeting this morning after the service. Our Upward Basketball kickoff is next week. And so Upward Basketball is for children pre-K through the sixth grade. And we're really looking forward to great things this year from Upward. And so registration will start next week. Here's what we can use help with from you. If you could take a yard sign and put it in your yard, and that will help advertise for Upward. And then if you could just commit to pray. We're going to have prayer pins out next week and yard signs. If you could pray for Upward and put those yard signs out. We're hoping to have a little over 200 kids, maybe 250 kids this year and Upward. So if you'd like to volunteer for that as well, you could see Kevin Powell or Mike Kaler as they will be heading it up this year. There is a movie that's out at Kalamazoo Celebration Cinema, and it's just playing for three nights, and it's called Molly. It's a good Christian movie, and if you'd like to support the production of good Christian movies, I'd like to encourage you to go out and see that. There's a church family event on October 21st from 4 to 6 p.m. We're going to meet over at Harvest Moon Acres. It's got a corn maze. It has, you can shoot pumpkins, all right? With a slingshot, okay? But a lot of fun things. Not with a gun, sorry. But you can pet animals. It's just a lot of fun things for the kids. Adults, you'll have a good time. We'll have a little bit of fun. We're going to have a little incentive. And whoever gets through the corn maze complete in the quickest time, we're going to have a little donut package for them, okay? So we're just going to have a good time as a church family, meeting there on October 21st from 4 to 6 p.m. The cost is $7 per person. And or you can get on Groupon and see if you can get a better deal, because Groupon does have some better prices for that. Also, the annual Parade of Lights church trip down to Essenhouse in Shipshawana, that's November 11th. If you'd like to sign up for that, please do so at the Welcome Center, because we need to know how many people are going for reservations for dinner and all of those things. And for the Christmas series that I'm going to be preaching, I need some photos from you, okay? And so here's what you can do. If you have a photo, and it's, you know, those photos where you take, especially back in the 70s and the 80s, where, you know, everybody wore a matching sweater, and at the time it was a wonderful idea, and then you look back and your kids just laugh, you know? Well, even if they're not Christmas photos, but if you have any kind of photos like that, if you could either give us a copy of the photo here at the church, or take a picture of it and just send us a digital copy, that would probably be best. But we're going to use those in that series. So we could use your help with that. So if you have an awkward family photo, we'd love to have a picture of that or a copy of that. Also on October 8th, there is a baby shower for DC Working Teen. There's a lot of things. There's a trunk or treat that's coming up very quickly. Just a lot of things going on, so I'd like to encourage you to participate in all that we have going on. Let's have a word of prayer together as we begin our service. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are a king that is worthy to be crowned with all of the best that we have to offer in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that this morning as we look at the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil, that we would be challenged with the fruit that our life brings. And I just thank you, Lord, that this morning we have opportunity to praise you with our mouths through song. We have opportunity to praise you with our actions through fellowship. And Lord, we can respond to your word this morning. And so I pray that everything that is said and done this morning, Lord, will bring great praise and glory to your name, our worthy King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. You could find our seats, and you can go ahead and take a seat. And I'd like to invite the deacons to come forward to distribute the Lord's table. And as you're taking a seat, this month we're in a series right now, the Parables of Mark. And this morning for communion, I'm going to share with you a parable. This isn't from the book of Mark. And actually, this parable is actually just from God's creation. Okay, there is in our bodies, there is a protein that connects cells. It's a bonding protein, and in our bodies, this bonding protein, like in our stomachs, kind of that holds the stomach lining together. Even in our skin, it helps hold the skin together. This bonding protein is called laminin. Okay. And laminin, it's a pretty cool thing. It's a cool protein. It holds the cells together. And I just want to read to you some verses from Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 14, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The scriptures tell us that Jesus, the creator of all things, the one who died for us, that he himself holds everything together. Now, this protein that I'm telling you about, it's called laminin. And if you ever look at a laminin, if you were to get on a microscope and look underneath, that's exactly what it looks like right up there. And you know what's really cool about this? This is your parable this morning. It's in the shape of a cross. And the laminin inside your body that bonds the cells together and actually literally holds your body together. It's in the shape of a cross. And that's just pretty cool because it gives us a part of God's creation that reminds us of who holds us together. A part of his creation that shows us not only physically what's holding us together, but spiritually where our hope lies. And as we go to communion this morning, I hope that little parable will I hope you go home and go, I got to look up laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N, laminin, look it up. It's a protein that bonds your cells together. And it looks like the cross. And what God wants for each one of us to think about this morning, we are brought here and we're bonded here together, not by our own thoughts, not by our own ideologies, but we're brought here underneath the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself so that we could be saved, so that we could be forgiven from our sin. And he holds us together as a church. He brings us together and holds us together. And what does that? It's the cross. And so this morning as we go to communion, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to do so. It was his cross that he shed his blood, and he allowed his body to be broken, his life to end, so that he could forgive you for your sin. And the good thing about our Lord is he didn't stay dead. After 3 days and three nights, he rose again from the grave. And he did that so that you could be brought to him, so that you could be saved. If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, communion is for you to remember what your Lord has done. Take some time to examine yourself. If there's any sin in your life, anything that you haven't confessed, anything that you are holding against God or from God, then this morning I'm going to encourage you, confess that sin. Forsake that sin. And God, he gives mercy. And as we go to communion this morning, we can have a beautiful time of fellowship with him, thanking him for dying on the cross and shedding his blood and allowing his body to be broken for us. Don, could you ask a blessing on the bread this morning? Thank you. Jesus took the bread the night that he was betrayed, and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat in remembrance of me." Scott, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine?
Heavenly Father, as we approach up today, give you thanks, Father, for what this service represents. Father, we just thank you for the body that was broken for us, Father. The blood that was shed. Just bless the Father, the nourishment of our bodies, that you might be glorified through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now we're going to sing a couple songs about what our Lord has done for us. And so as we sing, I hope you can sing full of joy in your heart this morning. Because what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's stand together as we sing.
Wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. Here my hope is found. Here on holy ground, here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here, arms open wide. Here, you saved my life. Here I bow down. Here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. Jesus.
Wave the ushers come forward, please. You may be seated.
Shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life.
At this, oh, I'm a little bit early. At this time, we have a drama.
Another duet for you.
But, Pumpkin, I thought it was my song next.
Oh, no, honey. Oh. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Okay. So Dan will now sing for you a song. You're going to love it. He sounds just like Sammy. It's called The Candyman Can.
Thank you, Jan, darling. And then next, you can do your Reba set.
Okay.
Kelly and I had no idea that you two just loved karaoke.
Oh yeah, baby. Oh yeah, we're singing.
We're coming to dinner. Oh no.
Well, you know, it is getting late, and we do have some questions we'd like to ask you. So if we could just
have a seat. You know, we just get carried away.
Sometimes you just gotta tell us enough.
Church, you did say that if we had any questions, we could ask you.
Oh, yes. You know, when we were new Christians, we just had so many questions, didn't we, honey?
I don't know. Did we? That was a question.
You're killing me.
So, you wouldn't mind if we asked you a question about something we've been discussing?
I mean, we feel as seasoned Christians that it's our duty to help little baby Christians as they take those first steps.
Yep. Oh, great. Because last week at the sermon, Pastor Thad said that as Christians, we are to be fruitful.
So what does that mean to bear good fruit?
We get you.
I know what they're getting at.
Oh, Jan and I know all about bearing good fruit.
Okay. Yeah.
And their names are Spencer, Percy, Frida, and Pam.
And you know they're upstairs. They're cleaning out the fish tank. So if you want to see them, I'll get them. Spencer!
No, come on down! We understand perfectly well what that kind of fruitful means.
Well, that's get fruitful and multiply.
Oh, yeah, amen.
Yes, but isn't there another kind of fruit that we're supposed to be concerned with?
Oh, yeah, there is. But let me set the record straight on this one right now, okay? Nobody knows what kind of fruit was on that tree in the Garden of Eden. We just know it was some kind of fruit.
Oh, you know, I have always believed that it was an apple, but Dan
No, 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 I have always strongly believed it was some sort of fruit that you can no longer purchase at the produce stand.
Honey.
Probably a hybrid of, let's say, a strawberry and a kumquat.
Oh. Yeah. What we know, honey, is that Satan took that fruit and he tempted Eve.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then what did Eve do? Oh, my goodness. She turned right around. I don't mean to offend you, honey. She tempted her husband, Adam, which was wrong in my book.
Now, if Adam had been the spiritual leader of their house there in the garden, he wouldn't have let that happen.
No, hold on. I just want to make something clear here. We're not talking about the Garden of Eden or the fruit in the garden. Or we're not even talking about Adam and Eve. But as Christians, we are to bear spiritual fruit.
Ooh. You know, Jan, I think they're right. Yes. As Christians, we are to bear fruit, yes.
So what does that mean?
Jan, you take this one.
Well, you're the spiritual leader of the home. Why don't you go first?
Sure, of course. Well, to bear fruit. We're to bear it, right? We are to carry it.
Spiritual
wherever
fruit.
We go. Yeah, spiritual fruit, yes.
Basketfuls of it.
Oh, yeah.
Basketfuls?
Yeah.
But what is spiritual fruit?
Well, there's a plethora of fruits we should be bearing.
Yeah. It's kind of like a spiritual fruit salad.
Yeah, good, yeah.
Okay, well, now, for example, the pastor talked about witnessing, sharing your Christian testimony.
And investing in the lives of others in church.
Very good. Yeah. There you have it.
There you go. I'm glad we could do that together.
Yeah. Worked out.
Now, are those the only way to bear spiritual fruit?
No.
You know, Dan and Jan, since Kelly and I are new Christians, maybe you could help us out and share with us what you did or what you do to bear spiritual fruit.
I remember in VBS we did Chalk Talk.
Yeah.
And we used to head up the puppet ministry.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
And I was on the church carpet committee.
Once I sung a solo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
So all those are bearing spiritual fruit.
You know, we haven't done that for like 10 years.
Well, honey, that's because we both have this little sciatic nerve condition.
Oh, yeah.
It just kind of gets right down in there. We can't do it.
No, we didn't mean to get so personal.
Oh.
You know, it's just that Kelly and I want to be Christians that bear spiritual fruit. We're just trying to figure out how to make that happen.
Let me tell you, kids, it is important to bear fresh fruit.
Hey, but wash it first. That was a joke.
You know, it's getting late, and we should probably be going.
So oh, you're right, on. Honey.
Oh, but we haven't done our tribute to Broadway yet.
Oh, and we just
Broadway.
The karaoke machine just wound up.
You know what? Maybe some other time. We really have to go. So it was so good to see.
Oh, but thank you for taking your time and answering our questions.
Okay, well, how about another time then? Oh, another time, because when you come back, I'll bake muffins. With fruit and all.
Oh, fruit. That was good.
We really look forward to that.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We'll see you.
The door's
maybe
there.
Maybe Sunday.
Bye.
Bye. Oh. What a lovely couple.
I think so.
Yeah.
But, Jan, do you think maybe we should have asked them to do a song with us? I wonder if that's why they left so abruptly.
I think that they left because we couldn't answer their questions about fruit.
Oh, we don't have any spiritual fruit, do we?
Yes, we do. It's just not fresh.
Yeah, 10 years old and rotten.
Flies everywhere.
Well, you know, Jan, darling.
What?
I don't mean to offend you. But it was you who was always complaining about the VBS Chalk Talk and the puppet ministry.
Oh, and I don't mean to offend you, honey, but if you had been the spiritual leader of this home and just put your foot down, there wouldn't have been a problem. You're just like Adam.
To make the world taste good, and who could take a rainbow?
Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church, and let's turn to Mark chapter 4, as we will hopefully this morning be able to answer the question about the spiritual fruit. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to start reading just in verse 2, and here's what it says. And he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his doctrine, "Listen, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root in it, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said to them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, they that were with him, or were about him with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said to them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. And seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower sows the word of God. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let's pray together. Lord God, I just pray that you would give us understanding of your word this morning, challenge our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John 15 and verse 16, Jesus said this, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you will ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." See, this parable that Jesus shared was all about the fruit that each one of the soils produced. We have some constants in this story that Jesus tells. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It gives us something that we can look at on earth and understand a spiritual concept behind it. So, Jesus gives us the constants. The constant is the sower, the one who's doing the planting, the farmer. That's a constant. The seed, it's the word of God. It's a constant. The only variable is the soil. And so, as we look at this, what we should look at and say, what kind of soil am I? In Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, it says this, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." This is a constant theme throughout the New Testament, that we should be bearing fruit. So, as we look at this, the key to this parable is all about the fruit. So the key to this parable is the fruit. I'm not going to retell the story this morning. I'm just going to give you the interpretation of this story that Jesus shared. Number one, the word of God is planted by the Lord into different lives. That's what this means. The word of the word is planted into different lives. Number two, the effectiveness of the seed is determined by fruitfulness. The effectiveness of the seed is determined by fruitfulness. So the big question, it goes with the drama that we had this morning, It's all about producing fruit. So the first thought I hope that enters into your mind is, well, how do I produce fruit? So here's how to produce fruit. Okay, first of all, it is a natural process. Producing fruit is a natural process. The plant has to put forth effort into the process, or the plant will not survive. Okay, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between an annual and a perennial plant? An annual dies with the change of the season, right? Okay, but the perennial, it comes back. It comes back. Okay, as a Christian, you are a perennial. Christians are not annuals. Now, what's the difference between an annual and a perennial? Well, the natural process. And the natural process that God puts into our lives. Because remember, the one who plants the seed is God himself. The one, the message that gets planted into us is the same message. It is the word of God. And so that seed in a soil that will foster that seed correctly, it will produce a perennial Christian. In our house, we had these three purple plants. We planted them right next to each other. Okay, they got the same sunlight. They got the same shade. So they had the same amount of water, everything. They're all planted right next to each other. Two of them survived to this day. One of them died. And I remember as it was dying, Rachel and I looked at each other and we said, why is that one not surviving? It gets all the same nutrients as the other two. It gets the same water. It gets the same sunlight. Why did that one not survive? Here's why that one didn't survive. Because it's a natural process, and the plant itself has to have the fortitude to survive. And that plant, for some reason, even though it had all the same condition, it had a problem with its root system. Now, as a Christian, we undergo a natural process. The way that we know we're saved, it's not just by receiving the word and allowing it to grow in our lives. The natural process produces fruit. The way that we know that we are saved is that when our life brings forth fruit for the Lord. A good root system produces good fruit. Mark 4:17 says this. This is part of the explanation of the story as Jesus told it to his disciples. He said, they have no root in themselves. Okay, I've read this parable hundreds of times. I've preached this passage many times in my life. And you know, when I was studying it this week, this is the phrase that I have never looked at before. They have no root in themselves. You see, the difference between a true Christian and someone who just wants to be a Christian but isn't, it's all in the root system. In verse 17 there, it's describing those who were on the stony, the hard soil. They grew up quickly. A plant grew up. They received the word, and they were excited and it grew up quickly. But when the sun came out, when trials came, when life got hard, they failed. They withered up. They didn't produce any fruit, and they withered away because their root system was themselves. And when your root system is yourself, you will not survive. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10, Jesus said this, "And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings forth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." This is a consistent teaching of Jesus throughout the New Testament. A good root system will produce the proper fruit. A bad root system, you have to cut that tree down and cast it into the fire because it will not, cannot produce the right kind of fruit. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 16, it says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." If we have the right root system, then the branches that we produce will have fruit, spiritual fruit, that will hang off of them. So first thing we need to understand is that how do we produce fruit? Well, it's a natural process. So if you're not a Christian, you cannot produce fruit for the Lord. Salvation, the very nature of it, is being brought into the root of Jesus Christ. The seed, which is the Word of God, produces Jesus in your life. In Jesus' parable, they had no root in themselves. The seed produces the root of Jesus in the natural process of the Christian. In themselves, there is no root. Even though these people received the Word of God, they had gladness and a plant sprung up immediately. But there's no root in yourself. And so if your Christianity this morning is based on your own experience, on what you want it to be, then your root is wrong and your faith will die. You ever wonder, why do so many people make a profession of faith in the Lord and then walk away from it as time goes on or when things get tough? It's because their root system is not in Jesus. It's the wrong root system. And that root system always fades away. That root system always fails. That's why we did communion. That's why we do communion every month. Because it reminds us of our roots. And sometimes we just have to be reminded, what are the roots of our faith? The roots of our faith are not in what we have done. When we sang the song this morning, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can for my sin atone? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it brings us right back. The root system, our root of our faith, is in Jesus. It's not in us. And the special music this morning, the King of my heart. I'll tell you, one of the things that is produced naturally in a Christian's life is that he is the king of your life. He is the board of directors. You take the orders. And if it's not that way, then you have an improper root system. You will not produce the right kind of fruit. And Jesus said, that kind of root system, you have to cut the tree down and cast it into the fire because it will not succeed. Now, when you're growing a plant and you're trying to produce fruit, it takes the right kind of conditions. The right conditions are necessary. So when we think about the right conditions, Jesus talked about the wayside faith, the one on the fringe. It never produces fruit because the birds or Satan comes and steals the seed away before it can take root. And so there are people that are on the wayside of faith and they never produce fruit. Well, they don't have that mark of a believer. Then you have the people that the conditions in their life where they have a hard heart. And here's the thing about hard hearts. Emotional people or passionate people, people that are passionate about sin, they hear about the Lord and they become passionate about the Lord. But they still have a hard heart. And so what happens is a faith springs up and they're glad and they're excited and they're all gung-ho for Jesus. And you just give them a little bit of time and that faith withers and it dies. Because they don't have the right conditions. The sun comes, they have no root. When the sun comes out, instead of the sun providing nourishment, it scorches them. And then the third thing about the right kind of conditions is a person who stays among the same thorns after they get saved, they'll shoot up, a healthy plant, but all the thorns around them will choke them out before they can produce fruit. And so to get saved or make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, but keep yourself in the wrong conditions of life, surrounded by the wrong influences, it will choke your faith out. And when it chokes your faith out, you do not produce the fruit. And so we need to make sure that we have the right kind of conditions. And then also, it needs the proper environment. Let me just tell you something. Church once a week is not enough. If that's all you have for your faith is, well, I go to church once a week. Hey, it's really good that you go to church once a week. You have a lot more nourishment than a lot of plants out there, a lot of lives out there have. But could you imagine during the summer if you only watered your plants once a week? Some of you go, yeah, that's what I do. And they're all dead, right? Yeah, I know, personal experience. Yep, I've done that. See, we have to make sure that there is the proper environment for our lives so we can grow in Christ. So that the seed has an opportunity to latch into the right, create the right root system in Jesus, but then also to nourish that so it can grow and produce the right kind of fruit. We have some blueberry bushes out in our yard. And this year with the frost that happened and everything, we didn't get any blueberries that were edible off of it, okay? Last year we got blueberries. This year we didn't get any blueberries. Part of the problem in our blueberry patch is probably that I let the weeds all grow, okay? I put a fence around it so the bunnies couldn't get in because the bunnies like to eat our blueberry plants. But I didn't really go out there and ever weed it, or one time I went and cut down the grass around it. And so you know what happened to those blueberries? They didn't produce any fruit this year because I just left all the weeds around it. And they got all the same water and sunlight as the blueberries, and they literally choked the soil and didn't allow for the fruit to produce. As a Christian, you need the proper environment or that seed will not grow. So what is fruit, right? You're like, all right, you're telling us about it. All right, what is fruit? Because that's what we all want to know, right? Well, first of all, in general, it is a result of your faith. And you say, that is way too abstract. It has to be at this point. Fruit, in general, is a result of your faith. In Galatians 5:1, it says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." If you have something in your life that is keeping you in bondage, it will choke the seed and the fruit out of your life. And so here is a general idea about this fruit. Okay? When you're saved, you have to make sure that you are removing yourself from the things that entangle you, because he does not save you for you to be tangled up in your sin. He saves you so you can be free from your sin. In fact, in Romans 8:21, it says this, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." That's what he saves us for. So we can be free from the corruption, from the things that tear down our life, so that we can live in the glorious freedom of Jesus Christ. And then in Romans 16 and verse 19, it says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would that you would be wise unto that which is good, and simple or ignorant concerning things that are evil." So, the generalized fruit in a Christian's life is the ability to do right and avoid doing wrong. That's the generalized fruit in your life. You can be excellent at doing things that are good, and you can avoid doing the things that are evil. And so if you go, well, wait a minute, that's not true in my life, I can't produce that fruit, then I'm here this morning to tell you through this parable that Jesus shared that you have the wrong root system. You need a new root system. What is fruit? Let's look at the specific fruit the Spirit brings, okay? The specific fruit that the Spirit brings. It's found in Galatians 5, 22 through 24. And I put the words down in your bulletins. I'm going to give you the definition. And so I'm going to move through this pretty quickly. And if you got more questions, study it out more, because this is be a really great study for you in your life. First of all, love. That's the first thing listed. That's something that, here's what God is. God is love. And anyone that is born of God will love. That's how I know I'm a child of God. And what is this love? It's a love for God and a love for others. A love for God first, and then a love for others. See, some people, they say, well, I believe in God. Do you love God? I don't love God. I don't even know enough about God to love him. Well, then you don't really know God, because when you know God, you love him. When you know about God, you may not love him because you don't understand who he is, how he works. You don't know what he infuses into your life. His word is the root system that grows Jesus Christ literally into your life. And you love as a result of that. Joy. Joy is calm delight that completes your cheerfulness. Okay? Joy is calm delight that completes your cheerfulness. What I did is I've taken each one of these Greek words and I've broken them down as deep as I can break them down. You know, because we've always heard, joy is Jesus others than you, right? That's a good way to spell joy, but it's not really exactly what it means. It means that you have a calm delight that completes your cheerfulness. Where is that calm delight? It comes from God, that seed that produces Jesus in your life. And the fruit that comes out of it is a joy where your cheerfulness is not based on your circumstance. Your cheerfulness is not based on your surroundings. Your cheerfulness is completed because you have calm delight in Jesus. Thirdly, peace. Peace is joined to the prosperity of quiet rest. Joined to the prosperity of quiet rest. It's a calm assurance. Jesus lived with peace. He's in a boat, and there's a storm, and everybody thinks they're going to die. So they wake up Jesus, and he's like, why are you waking me up? We're going to die. And he's like, where's your faith? Jesus always had peace. When they were ready to crucify him, he had peace. Not my will, Father, yours be done. And he puts that peace into our lives because the root system of Jesus, it produces the fruit of peace. Calm assurance. Fourth is long suffering. Long suffering is patient fortitude in struggles. Whether it's the struggle of someone mistreating you, the struggle of living with somebody, the struggle of trying to deal with the hardships that personalities and people bring. Here's the thing. It's patient fortitude. I can stay in this thing. It's long-suffering. I can't think of a better example of long-suffering than Jesus. Okay? And this parable itself. He tells the parable to the people. Now he's alone with his disciples, and they come to him, and they're like, Jesus, we don't understand. And he's like, what? For them, they're not supposed to understand, because they got hard hearts. They don't believe. But for you, it's given to know these things. Why don't you understand?
Well, it's hard, Jesus.
So what does Jesus do? He explains it to them. Right before Jesus was crucified, he told his disciples, he said, we're going to go into Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me and crucify me. Okay? Can't be any more clear than that. And his disciples, they start talking with each other, and they start arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then one of them says, "Hey, Jesus, when are you going to set up your kingdom?" He's like, "What? You don't get it, do you?"
"What do you mean? I want to be at your right hand."
Jesus is like, "Whatever, sure. Yeah, you can be at my right hand. Are you ready to taste death with me?" And the disciples, they say, James and John, they're like, "Yeah, we'll taste death with you." And he's like, "You guys don't get it. All the sheep are going to scatter when I die." But Jesus had long suffering. He didn't hate them for their ignorance. He didn't put them down for their lack of faith and belief. Instead, he patiently walked them through it. And the fruit that Jesus will produce in your life is you will have long suffering with others. Gentleness. Gentleness, it's moral excellence exhibited in kindness. That Greek word, it kind of gets lost in English when we just say gentleness, because then we think, oh, just be nice. But it's more than just being nice. It's moral excellence while you're being nice. Again, Jesus. They're beating him. They're spitting on him. They're pulling his beard out by its roots. And he doesn't answer a word. He's quiet. And when he does speak, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Because Jesus had a sense of gentleness unlike the world has ever seen. He had moral excellence that exhibited kindness. And that's what you and I will produce in our lives. It's the fruit that will come out of us. Because Jesus is our root system. Goodness. Okay. Goodness is the best way to explain that Greek word. It's just being a good person. Okay? I mean, we know people that are good. We meet them, right? And it's just like, wow, that person. I mean, none of us are perfect. We all have our faults. But there are some people you meet them, you talk to them, like, man, that's just a good person. And then there are some people you meet and you're like, oh my goodness. I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but man, they are not a good person. Well, this is what Jesus puts in our lives. The fruit of goodness just comes out of us. The seventh thing is faith. Faith is moral conviction of a reliance on Christ. Faith isn't just believing something. Faith is having a moral conviction in something, and that something is someone who is Jesus. That's what our faith is. And no matter what the tides of this life turn on us, Jesus remains the solid rock that we can stand on. Eighth is meekness. This meekness here, it's humility. It's the kind of humility that lays itself down for other people. It's the kind of humility that does not fight or boast or strive to earn its own way. It says, "I will do what is best for others." Meekness is humility. Ninth is temperance. Temperance is self-control. The ability to control yourself. Jesus grows a root system in your life where you can control what you do. You can control what you think. You can control what you say. And when you say, "Oh, I can't do that," then you have the wrong root system. This is the fruit. I'm not telling you this morning that you have to try harder at this. That'd be foolish. That'd be like telling an orange tree to produce apples. That'd be like telling a plum tree to produce pears. I'm not going to do that to you because I'm not going to throw this impossible task in front of you. But what I am going to tell you is that when you have Jesus Christ as your root system, this is the fruit that happens. And it's exciting. Now, does that fruit all take place? Rachel and I planted a couple trees 2 years ago. 6 trees. We're still waiting for fruit from them, but we know that they will produce fruit. as long as we don't kill them. The fruit is coming. And maybe you say, well, I know I've trusted Christ in my life, and you see some evidences of that because the general fruit is happening. The specific fruit is taking longer in your life. Well, you know what? Stay at it. The fruit is coming. There's hope. Sometimes we look at the fruit, and all we look at is the failure in the fruit. And I don't want you to look at the failure in the fruit. I want you to look at it and say, you know what? Jesus is going to produce these things in me and be excited about that. To know that these things will be my reality because of Christ in me. And then the last one, you're dead to your old lusts. A specific fruit that takes place in a Christian's life is you are dead to your old lusts. Oh, you're going to be tempted. You might even fall once in a while. But you will be dead to them. And you will have victory over them. Because that is the way that Christ produces fruit. So, let me ask you two questions. Have you produced fruit? Are you producing fruit? Maybe you're still in the infancy. You're the little baby tree. And the generalized fruit is coming up out of you and you're excited. Okay, you have a promise that these specific fruits, they're on their way. Get excited about that this morning. Those struggles that you have, God is going to help you and he's going to give you victory. It is going to happen. Get excited. But if you have no fruit, and if you're not producing fruit, you've got a problem. So, Leah, can you throw me that jersey? So I got here, good throw, babe. So this is my old jersey from college, okay? This is what I wore in college when I played college football. I don't have a name on the back. We were too cheap to put names on the back. All right. But I wore this. I wore this for 3 years, okay? My freshman year, we had a different style jersey, and it got destroyed because it was like 20 years old. So this was the new one, and when I graduated, they let me keep it. I have a jersey because this jersey showed me that I was on a team. Now, you can go to the NFL store. I don't know why you'd want to do anything NFL right now, but you could go there and you could buy a jersey and you could get your name on the back of it and it could say, you know, Detroit Lions and then your name on the back of it. And you could take that jersey and you could wear it to Ford Field. Does that make you part of the team? You could get a sideline pass. And you could bring a ball into the stadium with you, wearing your jersey, your Detroit Lions jersey, with your name on the back, and have your football in your hand and stand on the sideline because you have a field pass. Are you on the team? See, the only way to get on the team is to be invited by the coach and to have him give you the jersey. And then they allow you to come to the training table. They allow you to come to practice and work out with the team. You get a position on the team. So what makes a difference from a person who has a field pass and the bench warmer? The difference is the bench warmer was asked to be there. And they might get into the game. You won't. And I am afraid that there are too many Christians who are fans of Christianity, but you are not really Christian. And how do you know if you're a fan? It's by your fruit. Your fruit tells you. Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you this morning, you got to produce fruit. That'd be telling you to work for your salvation. That's impossible. It cannot happen. But there are generalities in fruit that will start to take place in your life when you trust Christ. And then you're going to see those specific fruits start to grow in your life. You're like, wow, I used to be really mean. Now I'm kind of nice once in a while. Because the fruit, it begins to grow. So as we close out this service this morning, I don't want you to go home and start beating yourself up about your fruit. But I do want to challenge you. Are you a fan? Or do you have the fruit? Let's pray. Lord God, if there's anyone here this morning who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to save them. You gave your life for them so that they could be saved. You shed your blood. You allowed your body to be broken. Lord, you're not asking us this morning to be good enough for you, because in our own root system, we cannot. When our root is in ourselves, we wither and we die. So, Lord, I pray for each and every person here this morning that they would just examine the fruit, not of anybody else, but of themselves. And Lord, if anyone needs to come to Jesus Christ in salvation, I pray that right now they would do so. That they would ask for you to save them and trust what you have done and allow for you, Lord, to produce that good fruit that comes from a good soil. And I pray, Lord, for the Christian this morning that's beating themselves up, saying, man, I'm just failing. God, you don't want them to live in failure. I pray this morning they would be hopeful. I pray that we in our lives would produce the right conditions as best we can, so that that fruit, that seed, can grow up into our lives and produce the proper fruit. So, Lord, help us as we close out this time. Help us to be able to sing to you, our great Lord, our Jesus who paid it all. We owe all to you. Nothing we do saves, but everything you did saves us. And I pray we'd be reminded of that, glorify you in that, and bring praise to you. And Lord, if anyone needs to be saved, I pray that you give them the courage, the boldness to just come up to the front and tell me that they don't have the fruit that they want to. And Lord, this morning, you can and you will save them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing this song in closing to the Lord.
White as snow.
Jesus, we thank you for washing our sin white as snow, for raising up dead lives and making us have life. And Lord, that we don't just have life, but now we have a life that can produce fruit. And that fruit will remain. I thank you, God, that you desire to give each and every one of that this morning. You're an awesome God. We love you. Thank you for all you do. As we go this week, Lord, we want our lives to produce the fruit for you so that the world can see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So now, unto him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be glory and honor and power both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. We're going to start our business meeting in 3 minutes.